information items.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We've got a few more issues to tackle this morning. We have the Oahe Fishery Update. Mark Fensel is going to be with us today. I think.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Welcome.
So I'm Mark Fensel. I'm the supervisor for fishery staff in the Upper Missouri River Stretch. Lake Oahe has been getting a lot of attention lately, so we thought it'd be a good idea to kind of give you an update on the fishery, what's happened historically, what we're doing right now, and plans for stocking into the future. Quick agenda on the presentation. We're going to go through some of the Lake Oahe walleye history, going back 30 years that we've been managing the fishery. Looking at abundance, which is just the number of fish in the system, condition, the relative plumpness of the fish, and then growth, how fast these fish grow over the first few years of their life. We'll talk about some of the recent walleye stockings that have happened, the rationale, essentially give you the justification why we're stocking, and then how many we stock and where. And then kind of follow that up with current walleye trends. So this is all the walleye trends that have happened since we started stocking. Again, looking at abundance and growth. Finally, we'll end with some of the plans going forward. And this is the stocking plans for next year. And then plenty of time if you guys have any questions. So for Lake Oahe, we split it into two management zones. Upper Lake Oahe, which extends from the border with North Dakota down to the 212 bridge right there by Gettysburg, and then the lower zone, which extends from the 212 bridge down to the dam. These two management zones, the reason we split them up is because they act very differently as far as their walleye populations. Upper Lake Oahe is characterized by high abundance, so a lot of fish up there, small size structure, so these fish are generally smaller, and really good recruitment, consistent recruitment. So there's new fish coming into the system every year in that upper Lake Oahe. Lower Lake Oahe is pretty much the exact opposite. Low abundance, generally it has fewer walleye, but large size structure, okay? So there's fewer walleye, but the fish on the lower end are actually much bigger. And weak and inconsistent recruitment. So not that those new individuals coming into that fishery every year, okay? We only have new individuals coming into the fishery every few years. So Upper Oahe, very different. A lot of fish, small fish, good recruitment. Lower Oahe, fewer fish, bigger fish, and erratic recruitment. So this is the history of Lake Oahe. Here we have the years going back to 1985 on the x-axis. Oh, I can't see that son of a. And then what we call CPUE, and this is the number of walleye we catch per net night that we're out there sampling. And you can see through the early 90s, we're kind of the heyday of the Lake Oahe walleye fishery. And that ended in the late 90s, early 2000s with that first crayfish collapse when we had the high waters in the late 1990s. The abundance of both upper and lower Oahe really collapsed after that. Started to rebuild through the mid-2000s. We were on really good track going into about 2010, and then the 2011 flood happened and flushed our prey fish. We lost the majority of our walleye in Lake Oahe. Here the black line is Upper Oahe, gray line is Lower Oahe, and you can see after 2011, particularly Lower Oahe really took it in the shorts. We lost a lot of fish on Lower Oahe. Upper Oahe fared a little bit better, but still pretty big decline in Upper Oahe. Oh, yep, and that's just showing that particularly steep drop. That was even compared to the 1997 flood, one of the steepest declines we've seen on our abundance, our walleye abundance in Lake Oahe. Go ahead and hit the next one too, Nick.
Thank you.
So walleye condition, this is the relative plumpness of a fish. So think of it as like the BMI for us, right? How fat are these fish for a given length? And here we have condition on the y-axis and years on the x-axis. The top left figure is Upper Oahe. The bottom right is Lower Oahe. And we kind of have some of those size classes split out. Generally, what we look for is a condition factor of about 80 to 90. That is a good, healthy walleye in our eyes. You can see, again, the same drops that we saw with abundance at the late 90s, early 2000s, when we had that first prey fish collapse. The fish got skinny, right? They didn't have a lot out there to eat. Mid-2000s happened. We started seeing some really solid recovery. And then 2011 happened again, another one of the prey fish classes, and saw one of the steepest drops in fish condition. They just didn't have anything out there for them to eat. Particularly on Lower Oahe, you know, that line, those three lines for all size classes, they dropped fast there in 2011, 2012. So they went from very fat, healthy fish to zombies out there. You know, we call them the cigars, the long, skinny, did not look healthy. And we had a lot of natural mortality, and it was just a bad situation for our walleye. The good thing is here is that we recovered pretty quickly. So we got in there, we started stocking some shad, trying to get some food back into the system. And particularly for a Lower Oahe, we brought that condition back up pretty quick, within about 3 years. So the relative plumpness of those fish recovered fairly quick. Now the third thing we look at is growth. So that was condition. Growth is the next thing. How fast are those fish getting to, you know, we always say 15 inches is the benchmark. You know, that's what people want to catch and eat and stuff like that. So how fast are they getting to 15 inches? And one way we look at growth is to compare the length of an H3 fish. So how long is a fish that is 3 years of age? And just to compare to some other growth rates across the strait, you look at like Angostura, they're hitting about 17 inches in 3 years. And these are just 10-year averages. Belfouche, you're looking at 15 inches. You go to the east side of the state, Thompson's around 14 inches. Sinai is around 15 inches. Francis Case, 15 inches. And Lewis and Clark is, again, one of our fastest growing walleye fisheries. It's over 17 inches in just 3 years. Now, one thing to note here is that of a lot of our walleye fisheries, that fast growth, some of the fastest growing walleye we see are in systems that have gizzard shad as a prey resource. Now, not saying that there's other systems that produce fast growing walleye, but generally, walleye grow amazingly well on a gizzard shad prey resource. For Lake Oahe, we had that first flood in the late 90s. Prey fish collapsed. Again, abundance decline, growth decline. But through the mid-2000s, our growth started to come back pretty good, and we were actually hitting that 16-inch mark through, you know, 2006 through 2007. And one thing to note, this is when shad took off in Lake Oahe, and they did it naturally. We didn't stock any of it. The shad moved down from Angostura into the lake, populated, and became a great food resource for Lake Oahe walleye. And all of a sudden, the growth we were seeing, again, was some of the highest in the state for those H3 fish. Then, unfortunately, 2011 happened again, set back everything, right? You saw the abundance went down, condition went down, and, you know, obviously growth went down too. We were down to about 14 inches for an H3 walleye. But, nice thing is, again, we got in there right away, started stocking some shad again, and brought that growth back up at least close to 15 inches. We're not quite there yet, but pretty close. So the historic summary is, you know, the 2011 flood, the 97 flood, both of these are huge stressors on the system. Following both of these events, we see natural mortality going up. You know, the fish look terrible. They're skinny. There's not a lot out there for them to eat. Abundance drops, condition drops, growth drops. But what was nice is going into about 2015, 2016, we've had the growth coming back, and we had the condition coming back. We just didn't have a lot of fish in the system. So what did we do to, you know, combat that? And that is quite simply stock fish. Now, we haven't stocked Lake Oahe since the early 90s, late 80s. And for a long time, we thought that Oahe was just too big. You couldn't stock enough fish in that system to make a meaningful impact. But we tried it, and it was very successful from what we can see. We started stocking in 2017. Since then, we've stocked about almost 5 million small fingerlings. So these are fish that are about an inch, 2 inches long. And then over 5 million fry, too, as well. We stock 17 different locations. Most of these stocking locations are on Lower Oahe, and there's a main reason for that is because Lower Oahe had, they're the ones that really got hit hard by that 2011 flood. If you remember those graphs, that's really where the abundance went down. But on the flip side, the growth and condition of those fish on Lower Oahe were good, indicating there was enough food down there that we could start stocking and there was food for those fish to eat. So we concentrated on the lower end. We did start stocking Whitlocks and Swan Creek as well, just hoping some of those fish were kind of in that marginal zone where there was enough food for them. We also started stocking district shad pretty much the year after the flood happened. We knew exactly, you know, we did a lot of netting during the flood, so we knew we were losing our prey base right away. The smelt were leaving the system. So right away in 2012, we got in there and started stocking gizzard shad. Now, gizzard shad are kind of interesting in how we stock. So we go out in the springtime and collect pre-spawn adult gizzard shad. So these are adults that are ready to spawn. They just haven't dropped their eggs yet. They haven't gone through the process. So we move them up there before those fish actually spawn, put them in the lake, and then allow them to spawn naturally in Lake Oahe. Now, it doesn't look like that's a lot of fish, right? 1,000 fish, 1,500 fish, not a lot of fish. Well, some of these females can produce almost 500,000 eggs. So it is a huge bang for our bucks where we can put the adults out there, let them reproduce, and then their young are what really feed the walleye up there at that time. So even though it sounds like pretty low numbers, that is a lot of forage up there that we can move with just a few adults. Well, go ahead, go back real quick. Again, same thing, we kind of concentrated on Lower Oahe, trying to build back that Lower Oahe fishery. But we did do some up in the Upper Oahe too, just to, again, bolster the food up there. So what has happened since we started stocking? So we started stocking in 2017, and this is what we call kind of the current conditions. And great thing is, walleye abundance, again, improving on the lower end, and that's where we focus our stocking, so that makes sense, right? For the first time in a number of years since the 80s, our abundance of walleye on the lower end is actually higher than the upper end, which historically, if you go back to those old graphs I showed you, usually Upper Lake Oahe has more fish than Lower Lake Oahe, and we actually flip that through our stockings. And now we're seeing, you know, good trends of our abundance, the number of fish on Lower Lake Oahe. But the problem that we're seeing now is that declining trend on Upper Lake Oahe, it continues to go down. Now it's slowed down, it's not as severe, but it's continuing to decline over time. Condition, again with the gizzard shad that we put up there, we have a recovering rainbow smelt population, but condition on both Upper and Lower Lake Oahe are very stable. You know, we consider them good, healthy fish. We're right in there between 80 and 90 for both areas, so the condition are good. We're just not seeing those walleye, the number of walleye come back on Upper Lake Oahe. It's just that steady, slow decline. And growth, you know, we're continuing to see growth improve. I mean, we have what I would call good growth on Lake Oahe, but we can see it better. You know, in the mid-2000s, we saw an H3 fish hitting, you know, close to 17 inches. Right now, we're hovering right around that 14 and a half inch mark. And we'd like to really push the prey fish in there to get more prey fish to, you know, up that growth. Ideally, we'd be up around that 15 inch mark, if not higher, over the next couple years. So, you know, since 2017, the stockings on Lower Oahe appear to be, you know, very fruitful, improving the abundance of walleye on Lower Lake Oahe. But again, we're seeing that continuing decline on Upper Lake Oahe. Condition is good, growth is improving, and our plans going forward are simply to continue stocking, you know, as much as we can. For 2023, our request is to stock 7 different locations. The majority of these locations are in Upper and Mid Lake Oahe, about 400,000 fingerlings per location, which would give us 2.8 million total walleye fingerlings going into Lake Oahe, and it's the biggest stocking we've done to date. So kudos to our hatchery staff for being able to provide that. You know, these are astronomical numbers that we are requesting. You know, generally most lakes get a fraction of this, and we're asking for very big stockings. So yeah, next year, starting from essentially the border, going all the way down to that break point in our management units, and focusing on Upper Lake Oahe to get some numbers back up there. We're going to continue the gizzard shad stockings. We think that's been a very fruitful endeavor. The problem we have with gizzard shad is that they're very susceptible to overwinter mortality. They don't handle South Dakota winters very well. So it's something that we have to continually stock until we have some mild winters. Right now, four different locations, all in Upper Oahe, about 300 adults per location, 1,200 adults total. And again, this sounds like very few fish, but again, keep in mind that their reproductive output, the number of eggs they can produce, is astronomical. So it takes very few adults to actually produce a lot of young for those walleye to eat. Now this is kind of exciting too. So last summer, we started talking with our partners down in Kansas. And believe it or not, in other parts of the world, gizzard shad are a nuisance species, right? They overpopulate, people hate them, they compete with largemouth and some of the other species. And talking to our partners down in Kansas, I just posed the question this summer. I said, do you guys have any shad down there? And they said, oh my gosh, we roten on them, we hate them, take as many as you want. So we started talking, and started talking about moving some fish up here, gizzard shad up here. But some of the criteria is that it has to be AIS free, right? We don't want to bring any AIS up here. And they have to be disease free. So late summer, early fall, talking to our partners down there, they found a couple lakes that were AIS free and have been this entire time. They sent some fish off this fall and did disease testing, and those all came back with a clean bill of health. So it looks like this spring will be the first time we're actually going to go down to Kansas and move numbers of gizzard shad up from Kansas and put them in Lake Oahe. Right now the plan is to move about 4,500 total adult gizzard shad, again focusing on that upper through mid Lake Oahe, and this would be huge. This would be three times the amount of shad we've ever stocked in the past. So the plan is to take a caravan of GFP staff down there with hatchery trucks and load up a truck, move it north, load up a truck, move it north, and just keep doing it until we get as many shad as we can to get up there. So, quick summary, still recovering. You know, after the flood in the late 90s, you know, it was about 10 years before we saw full recovery. Unfortunately, 10 years after that flood, the 2011 flood hit. So, still in a recovery mode. Everything's trending upward other than abundance in Upper Oahe. Condition's good, growth's improving. Hopefully with these shad stockings, we can keep that growth and condition improving. Plan is to stock 2.8 million fingerlings, which is by far the most we've ever stocked on Lake Oahe. And then again, keep pumping gizzard shad into the system, right? Keep food out there for the walleye. 1,200 pre-spawn adults, and those are the ones we're going to stock internally from South Dakota waters, and then up to 4,500 pre-spawn adults that are coming from Kansas. A lot of the issues we've had with Lake Oahe lately has been a lack of outreach efforts on our part. You know, we've done a poor job lately talking with the public, and that's something that we've identified that we need to do a better job of. So Lake Oahe is a destination fishery. Up to 40% of our anglers are from out of state. Well over 50% are non-residents. So these are people that travel over 100 miles to come fish Lake Oahe. It's by and large, are one of our biggest fisheries, if not the biggest fishery in South Dakota. And so we need to get out and reach the people that are actually fishing here. So we had public meeting up in Mobridge in October. We have one in Pierre, Aberdeen, Rapid City, and we're trying to get one scheduled for Sioux Falls and maybe Watertown. Again, we need to get the information out there. When we started talking with some of our constituents this last year, you know, they didn't even know that we started stocking in 2017 because it's been that long since we went out and met with the public. That's one of the goals this year, is to kind of light that spark again and get the communication between GFMP and our anglers back up and start that fire. We do have the Lake Oahe Restoration Coalition that formed within this last year. It's a group of very avid anglers, guides, resort owners, a lot of people in that coalition. We've been meeting with them quite a bit, and the heads of the coalition I talk to almost weekly. Great group of people, very passionate, and they really want the same thing we want, right? We want Oahe to be, you know, the place in the Midwest to come and catch walleye. And so we're meeting with them, I believe myself, Jake Davis, and maybe Tom might be going up there to a cast on January 26th to meet with that group as well. Sorry, that was a quick rundown. If you have any questions, feel free to ask a question.
Any questions for Mark?
Yeah.
Commissioner.
Commissioner Lockett here. Mark, thanks for meeting with Walleye Coalition. I've had a lot of calls, I'll tell you that. So run this past me again. Flood in 2011 caused the collapse of the prayfish. What exactly happened to those prayfish? Did they go over the spillway? Is that what we're saying?
Yep. So we during the flood, we were actually running nets down below the dam in that fast water, and we estimated almost 90% of our smelt left, and which is bad. You know, 90% of the smelt in Lake Oahe were flushed through. Well, the other impact of that is all of a sudden you only have 10% of the smelt out there, and you have a lot of walleye, and so predation on that. Those few fish that were left in the system further decreased the number of smelt in that system. And the combination of the flood, those fish leaving the system because of the flood, and then on the flip side of that, that misbalance in predator and prey, we just lost, you know, 99% of our smelt at that time within a year, you know, just all of a sudden. And because of that, walleye essentially starved to death. You know, I showed you those condition numbers in the 80s and 90s. Following that flood, we had condition factors that were in the 40s. So these were fish that were ahead, and that was the biggest part of that fish was the head. And they were skinny, and they were just dying naturally after that. It was a very bad situation to have for walleye.
How big is an adult gizzard shad?
So we actually have the world record gizzard shad in Lake Oahe. We hold that record. Some of our big ones can be 5 pounds, 4 or 5 pounds, so they are giant fish. When we put these fish in there, we know that the adults are not going to get eaten, right? It's a big, big fish. But what we rely on is those big fish produce so many eggs, so many offspring, that we can put these big fish up there, and within weeks of us stocking, there's a little shad swimming around that's a great food. Like I showed, one of the best foods for walleye is the little gizzard shad.
Is there a little misconception going on here? It seems like when you talk to the people in northern Lake Oahe, they're looking at the smelt.
Mm-hmm.
They have the impression that the whole walleye population depends on smelt,
mm-hmm.
and not gizzard shad. What do you have to say about that?
Yep, so we had a lot of questions about that during the Mobridge public meeting. You know, they want to stock more smelt, they want to stock more smelt. Well, the problem that we have right now with the reservoir dropping is that cold water habitat, which the smelt need, right? The smelt are bound to that deep cold water. As that reservoir comes down, cold water habitat only extends up to about the 212 bridge, maybe up to Swan Creek for any meaningful cold water habitat. So like I told the guys up there, we can stock. If we could get our hands on smelt, we could stock more smelt. That'd be great for lower Lake Oahe where the smelt are at. But when you get up to that pollock country, Mobridge country, where there's no cold water habitat, there's no smelt up there. They wouldn't survive up there right now as it is. Does that make sense? They need habitat to do it. We could stock a bunch of smelt, but they'd all come down to this lower end. So for upper Lake Oahe, the best thing we can do is put gizzard shad in there.
Okay, I'm glad to hear you're working with Kansas. What is North Dakota doing for crayfish? How are they handling it? You know, we share the water with our friends to the north. What's going on in North Dakota?
So historically, we have actually stocked our gizzard shad. Well, we give our gizzard shad to North Dakota, and they've been stocking above the border. That's where you saw a couple of those dots up there. We're partnering with them. Hopefully with this Kansas stocking, we'd be able to, again, move some of those fish north of the border. But as of right now, North Dakota is not stocking any walleye in the riverine reach, the Bismarck reach of Lake Oahe down to the dam, and they haven't been stocking any crayfish at this time.
Okay. Sorry to dominate this conversation. Just speculating that probably we're going to have rising levels in in Oahe this spring because the mountains are getting some welcome snow.
Mm-hmm.
How do we foresee that affecting the spawn, where the water is rising during the spawning period?
So rising water is good for everything. One of the best things we can have is a vegetated shoreline and flood that vegetated shoreline. Any rising water is great, but I have been in this position long enough, I will never speculate on what's going to happen with that snowpack because it can go either way with rains and snow melting and stuff. Ideally, yes, rising water levels will help the fishery, both walleye, smelt, everything, you know, the entire system. But right now, I just checked the core projections, and we're tracking on average. So, you know, it's not like we're going to have a super high runoff as of right now. Now, most of our snow in the mountains comes in, you know, late February, March, that time period. So we have a long ways to go before we see that. But we track that core projection of snowpack, you know, as soon as they put them out. And right now, we're just running right about average. So there's a lot of snow, a lot of water to be had between now and this. So I'm not going to try to guess because that's Mother Nature. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, the farmer in me is optimistic.
Well, and I'm optimistic, and it would be great. I would love to see, you know, rising water levels. Every year, that's what we hope for, right? We hope for rising water levels. It protects the smelt eggs. It protects the walleye eggs. The best year classes we've seen of crayfish and walleye are all, you know, during rising water levels. But I'm not going to bank on that, that's for sure. You know, that's why we do these planned stockings for both shad and Oahe, because we can't bank on the conditions being right for natural reproduction.
Well, thank you for reaching out to the people to the north. Mm-hmm. They really needed some questions answered, and they appreciated it, too. I've got that message.
Yep, and it's not just people of the north. You know, a lot of our anglers are from Sioux Falls. A lot of our anglers are from Rapid City. We are a destination fishery. And we need to get the word out. We need to answer the questions and talk to them as well. It's not just the locals here. You know, it's a major fishery in South Dakota.
Do you know the public meetings? Are they all in person? Is there a virtual component that they can tap into?
There's not a virtual component. The Mobridge component we recorded, I believe, and put that online. I imagine we'll probably try to do something similar to the other ones as well. But as of right now, I don't think there's like a live feed or anything like that. But we did record it, and I think we're going to plan on doing that with the other ones too.
Yeah, all right, we'll record it. I'm getting a nod, yes, very good. Excellent report. Good questions, Commissioner. Anyone else? Very good, thank you.